going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
How about that? Gamesmanship out of Elliot Wolf. It's Peter Schrager yesterday on McAfee. His mock came out earlier today. We'll give you some thoughts on that. But I like that. So Wolf wasn't the GM then.
No.
He's not the GM now.
No, I wouldn't worry about it, Schrags.
In fact, Schrager even said it. He was the number two in Cleveland. He's the number two now. Schrager just told you he's the number two. If you had any doubt, and I had held that up before, I haven't had it for a while. If you had any lingering doubt, Wolf is not in control of New England. Schrager just said it. So, interesting. Because they couldn't figure out the draft pick a couple of years ago when it was Baker Mayfield and not Sam Darnold.
But is he also like announcing that Wolf was his source?
Well, good point.
Yes. Like, you can't trust it. It's like, well, you can't trust him. Or maybe that is the guy that he wanted, but he didn't have say.
Good point, Shrags. What
so
are you doing?
I wouldn't worry about it.
You're out in your source.
You're throwing us out there. They're like, oh, you can't trust Elliot Wolf? It's like, all right, you can't trust Elliot Wolf. They talk to somebody else in there.
Do you think, I mean, right now, most of the mock drafts, Schrager included, have Will Campbell going four to the Patriots.
Not only that, Terp put up on the, if you're watching on Twitch or on YouTube, you could see.
The odds?
The odds.
What is it now? It was like
minus 575.
So I was going to say, it was minus 500 something
That's
yesterday.
That's pretty staggering.
No, it is. But, okay, where do you think those odds come from? I mean, there might be some specific intel there. I don't rule out that
Vegas
has intel.
I think as we're getting closer to it, the odds for the three picks ahead of them are also getting pretty weighted. Like, I think teams, you know, whether they're being truthful or not, Vegas feels like they have a read on the top three picks. So then I think it probably comes down to what they're hearing out of New England and then also, like, giant need. I think that's a big part of it, too.
I would agree.
Those odds are iffy, though, because if you guys remember a couple years ago, Will Levis flew up to the top second overall pick.
These odds are wonky, for sure.
I admittedly am riding the fence on this one because I want to believe them when they make my case. I don't want to believe them when they don't. And so, you know, I do tend to put stock in these numbers. And it seems like Will Campbell, he is the heavy favorite to go fourth overall. And I agree. Some of what you just said, Keith, is why. Ward's going one, Hunter's going two, Carter's going three. That's the consensus. And so what do the Patriots need it for? It's Will Campbell.
Yeah, Hunter's minus 900 to go two.
Yeah, he's going two.
Cam Ward's minus like 20,000. Abdul Carter is minus 650.
I'm not sold on that one either. So I'm not just
Carter
playing games.
At three?
Yeah, I'm not sold on that. I mean, if you're asking me to pick, I would probably pick that.
Sucker's bet, or is it a buying opportunity?
Keep scrolling down to five. It's Genty at five now, right? It is.
Yeah, but minus 125 is where you get into like
that's a coin toss.
Almost a pick'em.
But, you know, Jeremiah said it the other day. Schrager had it today. Schrager has a notoriously accurate mock. He said one of the things he got wrong, ironically, was the number one pick. Seems like a big one to blow.
Darnold went three that year?
Yep, a few years ago. And so is it possible, Keith, that all the mock drafts are off? The books are off.
Yeah.
Will Campbell's a heavy favorite at four right now, minus five, whatever it is to go four. And the Patriots are playing games, and they're tight-lipped, and because the Browns front office pulled it off before with Elliott Wolf when he wasn't in power, is it possible some of that's going on?
Oh, yeah.
They have a curveball up their sleeve that we don't see coming.
Yeah, of course. Mm. Well, you don't think so?
I mean,
I think there is, because I also don't think as much as...
believe it, but I'm not really sure I believe it right now. No, I want to believe it.
But I think... if 1-2-3 is chalk, then maybe four will be as well. But there's three teams ahead of you that could also throw a curveball at you. Like, Cam Ward, we assume is going one.
That's what
but what
need.
The hell happens if he doesn't?
That's what we need.
Like, what kind of scramble mode do teams go in if he's not number
we
one?
We need that. I've been texting with a buddy of mine, Breck. Giants
fan. How about that?
And he's like, anybody but Shadur at three. He's like, I don't even care. Just anybody but Shadur. But that's what we need. We need Shadur to go three.
I still go back to Cleveland and New York desperately needs a quarterback. New York does have two pass rushers. Now, Abdul Carter might be the best player available there at three for them. And like, that would probably be the smart pick long term. But that's one position they kind of have.
Schrager's been on TV today saying they like Dart. Now, his mock draft, they have him training in and taking him in the 20s.
Yeah, you might be able to get him later.
But they like Dart. Jeremy Fowler, more smoke to Will Campbell.
All right.
ESPN, several industry sources believe the Patriots have an affection for LSU offensive tackle Will Campbell. This is the guy I do not want.
You don't want Will Campbell.
That's the opposite of affection.
I'll take him.
Assuming Hunter and Carter are off the boards, that's a big caveat.
It is.
Campbell would represent a safe pick for New England at four. Word is new coach Mike Vrabel is high on him. Campbell would provide New England the chance to establish its identity across the O-line for quarterback Drake May. Again, that's Jeremy Fowler at ESPN. You want what Schrager had today?
Yeah, sure.
Schrager says Campbell is smart, tough, dependable, and a leader in a position of great need. I'd debate that. He might not.
Well, it is a position of great need. You can't debate that part.
Well, is he going to play the position of great
need? Oh.
You see what I'm saying?
He's going to play at first.
Left tackle.
He might get demoted, but he's going to be a left tackle.
Left tackle is a position of great need. Can he play it? I mean, that's the whole conundrum.
Yeah, yeah.
He might not be built like Hall of Famer Orlando Pace, but the Patriots would be getting a day one starter and a culture guy on the offensive line.
Culture guy?
He has Ward, Hunter, Carter, Campbell, Genty, Membu, Warren, Walker, Williams, Loveland in a trade for the Colts at 10. Other players of note, he has Mason Graham dropping to 13 to the Dolphins. He has Teterone McMillan dropping to 19 with the Bucks. Shadur Sanders at 21 to the Steelers. And then, as we just told you, Jackson Dart going 26 in a trade up for the Giants with the Rams.
Do you want to hear a story that might make you feel better about
Yes,
Will Campbell?
Please. Wait. Oh, I thought you meant better about the Patriots not picking him at four.
No, about Will Campbell, because they're probably going to take him.
Is it going to make... Oh, is it...
Yeah.
From high school?
Yeah.
I saw this story,
so,
yes.
From The Ringer. So, Will Campbell didn't dress for a high school playoff game his senior year because of a pulled groin.
Soft.
His team was losing.
Uh-huh.
So, he got dressed under the stadium at halftime and asked to enter the game in the third quarter. He told his dad and coach, quote, just let me go one drive and see how I feel.
So here's,
and then I didn't come out, uh-huh, and they won the game. Uh-huh. It's like when Bobby Boucher showed up at halftime of the Bourbon Bowl and led the SCLSU Mud Dogs to a Bourbon Bowl victory. This is exactly like that. And you'd take Bobby Boucher at four.
Yeah, I would.
Holy smokes.
I'd take him at one.
He had like 15 sacks in the game.
Yeah. No, I mean, you took the words out
Bobby
of my mouth.
Bobby Boucher should have been the number one pick. Will Campbell hurt, pulled his groin. I started that story. I'm like, this doesn't make me feel any better. But then he inserted himself into that game.
There's so
they
much
ignored I need.
Will
the
Campbell
doctor
have a throwing touchdown.
Oh,
Bobby Boucher does have a throwing touchdown.
No, I mean, no one's saying we're taking Campbell over Bobby Boucher.
No.
Bobby Boucher is one of the great guys. We're just saying this is like it's Bobby Boucher like.
It's similar to Bobby Boucher.
Bobby Boucher showed up at halftime and the Mud Dogs won the Bourbon Bowl.
That was Will Campbell in high school. And they won that game. Put me in for one drive. Run behind me, coach.
I didn't read the full takeout at The Ringer. They tend to be verbose.
They have a
so
lot
did
to
they,
say.
What was the score at halftime? Were they down like 1 point?
It's
were they running behind him the whole game, or did he just happen
that
to be,
information wasn't
he just happened to be
available
on the field? Yeah. Was his team supposed to win by like three touchdowns? Were they like the way better team?
He gave up 9 sacks.
Yeah, I mean, like I feel like there's
terrible.
I would love to know a little bit more about what happened in the game, but okay. I'm led to believe he's super tough.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was able to rough up some high schoolers as a left tackle. Good for him. I don't doubt that he can dominate as a left tackle in high school. I don't doubt that he could
dominate. Did you ever pull your groin in high school?
Well, it's my normal Friday night. he dominated as a left tackle in college.
Yeah. He's a left tackle.
I have questions if he can dominate or even do it at the next level.
I know.
But okay.
I hear you.
Interesting stuff.
But that shit, I think that swayed a lot of people, that story.
It did.
I think they're in on Will Campbell. You might want to update your love-hate vote now.
Too late.
Campbell.
Unfortunately, too late. If there's anybody hanging on to Elliot Wolf that he's in charge and has a role and you still believe in him, the Wolfpack there, Keith, if there's any of that. We're going to play for you coming up the moment Elliot Wolf
he's
lost any power in New England.
Yeah,
we're gonna do that coming up.
It's long. We're probably coming up on the one-year anniversary.
Very
of
close
when,
to it.
When he's was
very,
done.
Very close to it. Let's take some phone calls, though, in the meantime. Bunch of you waiting patiently. Let's go to Daniel in Dallas. Hello, Daniel.
Yep, loud and clear.
All right.
What on earth?
Now, this is the second day in a row this has happened with Daniel.
Yeah.
You know, we don't get a lot of calls.
Is that
from
Morse code? Which I can't really on the fly decipher.
It's the second day in a row that we've attempted to go to Daniel.
Yeah.
And just not ready to go, not there.
Do you think he's really, really deep in the ground or really, really high in the air? Something ain't right.
Would you rather go to space or the bottom of the ocean?
Hey, wait till 11:30.
I'm a space man.
I'm a water guy.
You're a water man.
Yeah, yeah, I'm a water man.
Barry's in New
Bedford. I'm an oil man.
What's up, Barry?
Hey, guys. I'm with you. Jones on Campbell. I'm out. I've been out for a while. It's not the arm length that's the issue. It's the wingspan. A tackle has to have an 80-plus wingspan. Campbell's is way below. It's even below Peter Skoronowski, who Vrabel took a few years ago out of Northwestern and instantly kicked inside because he knew he couldn't play tackle. We're back here again. I think Vrabel's the only guy that wants Campbell. I believe Elliot Wolf and maybe some of the scouts in that room are probably saying, listen, we don't think he can play tackle. So let's either try to trade back or take another prospect. I just don't see Campbell being a tackle in the NFL with that type of upper body and wingspan. It's never happened before. You have guys in the NFL with 32-inch arms, but you have that wingspan above 80, which compensates for the short arms. He has a small man's body for a guy 6'6".
Okay. It's Skoronski in Tennessee.
What about like Joe Staley and Penei Sewell and Rashawn Slater? Well, what are their wingspans?
I don't know. Yeah. You gotta take him for his word, I guess, or Google them. Yeah, give me a Joe Staley wingspan or a Penei Sewell.
I don't think they measure wingspan.
Okay.
Arm length.
Those guys moved to right tackle, by the way.
Joe Staley, 33.5.
Yeah, it's arm length.
Yeah, well, I don't see wingspan. He's talking wingspan. I got your 10-yard split. I got a 3-cone drill here.
No, not
you want a bench press?
Not handspan.
Broad jump?
We should have measured.
You want his 3-cone drill? I have that. I don't have his wingspan.
We should have measured Marcelo Meyer's handspan when he was friend of the show hanging out with us.
Oh, my God.
In Worcester.
I don't think we had a tape measure big enough. Guy's got got paws on him, Marcelo Meyer.
The meat hooks on that guy. let's mix in a call on the Bruins. Kevin and Stoughton, hello. Kevin, hello.
Hello.
Kevin.
Hey.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
I actually wanted to talk about the Bruins. I was listening earlier to talk about the high winning percentage.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, if they have such a high winning percentage, why do they keep getting rid of coaches who are actually coaching the team that gives them the high winning percentage?
Good point.
Great point,
it's
Kevin.
It's like we're sitting here bragging about Don Sweeney's winning percentage. We fired Cassidy.
We're about to hire our fourth coach, but we have the best winning percentage. So, basically,
that's a tremendous point.
It is a great question. So,
how much of that was from that one season?
Well, they had a couple of President's Cups, I think. They had the one record-breaking year.
Uh-huh.
I think they had another first place finish, didn't they? But either way, that is a good question. So basically,
hang on. Don Sweeney has a .665 regular season winning percentage. I'm going to look up Cassidy and Monty right now.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I mean, they got to all be similar, but
dude, Cassidy's probably better. He's been better the last 2 years in Vegas.
Probably high. Oh, I'm sorry. I was just going to look up in Boston. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant like overall. I'm like, yeah, both those guys.
Okay, keep going.
Have done all right, but so that's a great point. So they're great in the regular season. You're congratulating yourselves for that, and then you're putting all of the playoff losses on the coaches. Evidently.
Yeah. Cassidy, 672, higher. Hang on. Okay. I'm sure Monty was higher. Let me keep looking it up.
I think he was in the close to 700. Yeah.
Well, it has to be because
the 1 year.
Because the Sacco losses go on Sweeney's record, mm-hmm. not on the other guys. So it has to be worse. The coaches are better.
This is Jim Montgomery playing career?
Yeah, let's get in there. Hang on, University of Maine. I don't know if we need to dig that far deep.
All right, hang on.
No, that's should have been a question asked at the press conference, which I'm sure was not.
Oh, I'm sure they were right about to get to it, I'm sure. He was 715. So Don Sweeney has a .665 regular season win percentage. They're trumpeting that. It's
but
the highest
about
in the
Monty's
league
and
since
Cassidy?
He came in.
That's a great one.
Cassidy's 672, slightly higher. Monty's 715. And by the way, I had no problem with them firing Cassidy or Montgomery. Zero. I think Montgomery, they were right to fire in retrospect. Cassidy's more questionable.
Oh, Cassidy, I did not like. I did not like Cassidy. Montgomery was fine. Julian was the right call.
I had zero problem firing any of those guys. None.
Cassidy,
Point isn't that they shouldn't have fired Monty. The point is, how are they going to turn around and reference regular season winning percentage?
No, that's foolish.
When they've fired coaches with better winning percentages than Don Sweeney, great point.
The reason I didn't like the Cassidy firing was I didn't think he was the problem. And two, it was you were siding with Jake DeBrusk. Like, it's one thing if Bergeron and
Carlo and
Tuca and,
like,
and all these guys, if like, the best players, like, we don't want them. You're like, all right, that's sports. You got to get on with it. Mm-hmm. But your second-line guy that, like, you hope runs into 20 goals is like, he's mean to me. I'm like, okay, maybe don't side with that guy. Who you also didn't even keep long-term? He's not even on the team anymore?
Let's see. Is that press conference still going? I'm trying to see our pal DJ Bean.
Yeah.
is tweeting out that Kevin Paul DuPont is doing God's work. So maybe we gotta grab some of that in retrospect if Dupes is really going at him. I've been waiting to see if we have any updates on Swayman from that press conference today. We just took the opening comments.
Apparently, Will Campbell's wingspan,
Give me
77 and 3/8 inches. We got a text that said that. Now, this I don't know. This I'm taking from the texter, which I assume is spot on.
Oh, they got to be right. Yeah.
NFL average is 82. And it'd be the shortest wingspan since 1999. Is that true?
Not
I didn't know that.
Okay, me neither.
So that means he has short arms, but also like a thin chest, right? Because if you're doing wingspan, it's the whole kit and caboodle, right?
Right. Tip to tip. So
this guy's got a little bit of a...
You're tip to tip.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So these other guys, maybe Penei Sewell's got like a wide chest.
Yeah.
Which would add to the wingspan.
That doesn't really seem fair.
What do you mean?
You're wide-chested, that really adds
to the wingspan. Yeah, you could have short arms, but you could have like a just an enormous wingspan. Wow, I didn't know about that.
How about that? Do you want to adjust your list? You have time to adjust your list. Yeah. Players you don't want, your hate love.
No, it's set in stone at this point. It's set in stone.
Irons are in the fire.
But what do you think about all the players that are like, arm length doesn't matter? Didn't David Andrews say that at Fitzy's beer event?
Yeah, I'm sure David Andrews probably doesn't think arm length doesn't matter because I bet he didn't have long arms. But yeah. Guess what? You're a center and you were undrafted. And that's probably the reason.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I just think it's so fraudulent, you know. People point to Matt Light as a short arm tackle. Well, A, he had longer arms than this guy. B, he was a second round pick. And also, he's kind of what we were talking about. He was a Pro Bowler a handful of times.
Hmm.
I'm not sure he was ever all pro.
Who are you talking about?
Matt Light.
Oh, yeah.
People reference Mankins, too. They're like, well, Mankins had short arms. Yeah, he was a guard. He was a college tackle who moved to guard. This is the point.
Mm.
When they drafted Matt Light, Matt Light fell to the second round. He wasn't the fourth pick.
Four overall is a different story.
Matt Light fell to the second round because people thought he may have to kick inside. They were wrong.
Who do you
think? But that was at pick like 50. That's way different than pick 4.
Oh, definitely. Who do you think is the best left tackle in the draft?
I think it's Simmons out of Ohio State.
Okay.
Whose arms are not, you pointed this out, are not much longer, but they do meet the thresholds. They do meet the cutoffs, which this guy doesn't.
No.
But I think it's Simmons. I don't. But my real answer is
33 on the nose.
Yeah, I don't think
so.
There's,
same arm length as Will Campbell's pro day.
Yeah, his fake measurement. Yes, not the combine measurement.
I stretched him out a little bit.
His fake measurement. Yeah, you're right.
He was kind of like he was short arm.
The real answer is I don't think there's a franchise left tackle in this draft. But the one I would roll the dice on is Simmons. But I wouldn't do it at 4. I'd do it in the 20s.
Yeah, if you did it at 38 or 28, if you traded up,
yeah.
I get it. No, I mean you don't want to have to reach at number 4. You shouldn't have to do that. Get it? Pun in your face, Will Campbell.
Nailed it.
I'm your biggest critic.
Let me.
I didn't know about this wingspan thing.
Yeah, no, we got one whole more day to research it. Let me hear the moment, just in case there was any doubt.
Oh, this is.
Because we probably know the moment. You probably have an idea of the moment that Elliot Wolf lost his job effectively, was demoted, ticketed for a demotion, out. But have you actually heard it? This is Joe Hortiz, the GM of the Chargers, and you'll hear him briefly talking to Jim Harbaugh, the coach. They're on the other side of the phone with Elliot Wolf, working the phones for the pick that eventually became Ladd McConkey. The Patriots, of course, got Jalen Polk and Javon Baker on the other side.
That's a tough go.
So listen to this. It's a good back and forth because Elliot Wolf is initially strong.
He
rebuffs the trade.
Of course he is.
And then he caves. Folds like a cheap suit. Here's the exchange.
Steve, it's for good.
They're calling me.
Who?
No one.
Okay.
See what they will give. Hey, you guys interested in that? You want to do it or you? No. All right.
Interested?
They wanted to know what side of the ball we're picking. I'm not going to tell them.
Who was that?
No,
timeout. So he goes.
Yeah, so we're in the Chargers war room right
now. They want to know what side of the ball we're picking on. He's like, I'm not telling them.
Yeah.
So Wolf is trying to play hardball. He's like, tell me what side you're picking.
Who are you taking? Like, we're not telling you that. What position? I'm not telling you that.
What side of the ball?
I'm not telling you any of that.
Offense or defense? And so Wolf's playing hardball. He's like, no.
He's like, they're not going to get it.
Then you don't get our pick.
Patriots are going to have an opportunity to then draft a guy.
A few moments later.
Yeah.
New England for us trading up. How much time? 34 and 137 for 37 and 110. All right. Give me two. Just hold on. Yep, I know. Hold on. it's the one we talked about, going back from 110 to 137, going up and getting Lad.
Say we do it.
All right. Yeah.
What do you guys think?
Yeah, let's do it. You there? We got a deal? All right, man.
Okay.
Lad McConkey.
We're going up and getting Lad. He like puts him on mute. He's like, we're taking Lad.
Yeah. We're taking Lad McConkey.
And then they go up and get him.
Got
and
a stud.
That is
right,
where,
right off the rip.
Not only did Elliot Wolf make a bad trade, he got boxed around on it on top of it. Like on top of it, he got bullied by the guy on the other side. So he's a rookie GM at the time. I think he was in his first year with the Chargers. Boxed around. And just that, you know, okay, fine, take our pick. They were so desperate to trade out.
Oh, yeah.
And they were like, please, take our pick. They folded on top
Jeepers.
Of it. So that's probably where he lost his job.
Yeah, not great.
But Peter Schrager will tell you, hard guy to read. When it comes to who they're taking, hard guy to
read. Don't listen to him.
Don't.
Have him not be your source then.
So maybe.
Yeah.
There's a curveball coming from the Pats tomorrow. I doubt it. But maybe. 617-779-7937. It's a Would You Rather Wednesday. Here on Jones and Keefe, we'll get you some Would You Rathers right after trending.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Billy Lane. Would You Rather Wednesday, Jones and Keefe, brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork. Visit Jackson Lumber and Millwork for all your residential, remodeling, or commercial building materials and supplies. Jackson Lumber and Millwork, providing solutions and delivering results since 1946. We'll get you some Would You Rathers coming up. We're still monitoring what I guess has turned into a pretty explosive press conference.
Yeah, I guess a little spicy. I guess Neely and Sweeney are a little bit on the defensive.
Well, it started out very defensive right away.
It kind of did.
Charlie Jacobs and Cam Neely and Don Sweeney. We carried all of that. I'll read from our pal, Pete Blackburn.
Okay.
at the What Chaos podcast. He says, I'm almost certain Cam Neely is going to punch at least two or three holes in the wall after this press conference.
Oh, boy. Seabass is
he
fired
says,
up.
Cam is steaming, all caps, mad.
Yeah.
Our pal DJ Bean, also from What Chaos, says that, I read this earlier, Kevin Paul DuPont doing God's work. So I guess he's mixing it up.
So DuPont's in there asking questions about the team, the and direction of the team, et cetera.
You got a text, Keith. You were alerted to, I guess they were asked that very question about.
Yeah, well, we were getting into about
why
how.
Why are you churning through all the head coaches while you stand by Don Sweeney?
Yeah.
And I think the justification was shorter shelf life in the room than upstairs.
Sure.
We'll get you some of that. Turn it around.
Very good.
We have Pure Hoops with Terp on the way at high noon. We got Hate It or Love It, Tyler Warren, at 11:45.
Show.
So stay tuned for that. We'll tweet that out at Jones and Keefe momentarily. But let's start with some would you rathers here, Bill. What's first?
All right. First up, would you rather the Patriots trade up or down tomorrow?
So, this is actually, I think trading up gets dismissed too quickly.
Like trading up from four, you mean?
Yeah.
Or in general?
Okay, I was thinking from four, but you can take it either way you want. Mm-hmm. I think trading up from four, and I've been one of these people that just says, all right, you have too many needs. You don't want to give up too many picks. But how different are we going to feel on Friday if they walk away somehow, some way with either Hunter or Carter? I think you'd feel amazing, right? Whereas like guys like Campbell, the fan base is kind of split on it. It's like, yeah, it's a need, but how good is he? Genty, people are also split on because you're like, he's an explosive player, but it's also a running back at four. If you end up with Carter or Hunter, I think you're talking about like what a huge win that is. The question then becomes, how much did you have to give up? How many other picks did you have to forfeit just to move up one or two spots?
So I agree it gets dismissed too easily. And I would say I'd rather they trade up, but not from four. I would rather they trade up from 38 or wherever to late in the first round. So if that's cheating, you let me know.
No, I want that too.
But I would rather they trade up. It just four to me is not super high on the list because of the draft capital I think they have to give up, which you're referencing. But the thing you keep hearing about this draft, everybody wants to move back. Nobody wants to move up. I know Schrager got it going yesterday where teams are calling about 2 and 3. That doesn't mean anybody's moving up. Matt Miller says he expects trades on day one. That doesn't mean in the top 10, certainly in the top 5. But let's say because everybody's looking to get out this year and you're the team looking to move up, that could be, Keith, a buying opportunity.
Not a sucker's bet?
Not a sucker's bet. This could be the year where it's cheaper to move up the board. You're not moving up for a quarterback. It's a down draft. If you're telling me you can get a deal on the Jimmy Johnson trade value chart or whatever value chart you use, if you're telling me you can get a deal and it'll cost you less this year to do it because it is a down draft, then sure, they should look at moving up from three, from four.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What else do we have, Billy?
Would you rather have Paolo Banchero or Cade Cunningham?
Easy. Cunningham. Cunningham's a stud. Banchero.
Banchero's good, though.
He's good.
Yeah.
He's good. The Magic have two good players. Cunningham is, I mean, he was all NBA for you, right?
Yeah. I think he's one of the 10 best players
when you were going through
right
and listing the, right. Banchero wasn't sniffing an all NBA team.
No, but I wouldn't be surprised if he is at some point like a third team all NBA guy. Like, I think he's really good. And if he gets a little bit more help, I mean, he's pretty much him and Wagner like dragged that team to the playoffs. And so I give him credit. And these were guys that were back to back number one overall picks on teams that looked like were going to be disaster, like the Pistons.
Well, the Pistons were a disaster.
With Cunningham.
They've turned it around. Yeah.
And then even the Magic, when they got him, like back-to-back first-round picks that have worked out, both have got themselves in the playoffs. Cunningham came in a year earlier and now has his team looking better, maybe even winning the first round. Yeah, I would definitely take Cunningham, but it shows you sort of the sheer amount of talent that is in the league.
Oh,
yeah, these guys are great.
I believe in The Athletic came out with their player survey.
Mm-hmm.
Derek White was the second most underrated or underappreciated, I forget how they worded it, player in the league. Cunningham was one.
Was he?
And I think he's a guy who has a chance to really make a name for himself in this postseason if they beat New York, especially considering they're going against the Knicks. Celtics fans would get a real look at him in round two if they're able to beat New York. But I think that's Ben Carroll is a good player. I'm not denying that. But I would rather have Cade Cunningham for sure. What else, Billy?
Would you rather Roman Anthony or Seidon Rafaela in the lineup right now?
Roman Anthony. I mean, Seidon Rafaela will make a web gem here or there, but
he started to hit a little bit. Emphasis on a little bit.
He's up to two
more hits last night, 229. I mean, no power thus far, but he had more power than you probably realized last year. He had 15 home runs. He had a sneaky amount of RBIs last year.
He did. He had like 75 RBI. No, I think he's a good player, but like Roman Anthony, I think his OPS at Worcester is like almost 1,000. Like, give me Roman Anthony. Put him in the lineup. There's still days to use Rafaela. He plays every position. You can figure out, give Story a day, give Campbell a day, give Willy Abreu a day. Like, he'll still play. And I like his defense in center field is great, but having Roman Anthony in the lineup, like I'm ready for that.
Yeah, I would rather Roman Anthony as well. By the way, it came out yesterday, the manager in Worcester, which I should know since we're
We're Woo Sox guys.
We're at Polar Park. We were there for opening day, all the hoopla. But he came out and said Roman Anthony's not playing any first.
Chad Tracy.
Thank you. It was right on the tip of my tongue.
No, I know that.
Chad Tracy.
Yep.
Could be a random baseball player of the day.
Tune in to find out.
Not to spoil it.
Around 140 or so.
In the grab bag. Mm-hmm. But he came out and said Roman Anthony won't be playing first base. So it will be an outfield spot / DH for Roman Anthony. I would rather he's up here now. Have you seen the barrel percentage, Keith?
Guy's just hitting.
I've lost track of the barrel percentage the last couple of days.
The ball down
but
there.
It is out of control.
Yeah.
Is what it is.
I agree.
So we both answer Roman Anthony. Final question, Billy.
Would you rather see The Accountant 2 or Until Dawn this weekend?
What is Until Dawn?
Until Dawn is a survival horror film based off of a video game, which I think looks pretty sweet. Nick, you seen the previews for the Until Dawn?
Yeah, and I was shocked that it wasn't anything like the game, apparently.
Yeah, a little bit different than the game, but it's based off of the game.
I thought this was going to be a Sinners question, or is Sinners too obvious?
Sinners is too obvious. Week 2 for Sinners this weekend. If you haven't seen it, go see Sinners. We know Joe Mazzulla is going to see The Accountant 2.
Yeah.
He says he's going to see it every day, every off day, the rest of the playoffs.
Yes.
He's so gung-ho for The Accountant 2. Ben Affleck, John Bernthal, very good. I'm more interested in Until Dawn. Until Dawn looks like a good time.
John Bernthal is from The Bear? That's John Bernthal?
Yeah. And The Punisher and The Walking Dead and, a bunch of stuff.
Okay.
Fury, the tank movie with Brad Pitt.
I have not seen
Shia LaBeouf.
I want to see Accountant 2. Strictly so I understand any random references from Joe Mazzulla.
Good point. He'll mix in a few quotes.
Watch it for work.
Yeah. No, it's for work purposes.
Of course you are.
For work purposes. I want to get on the same level as Joe Mazzulla. I want to understand
that
where he's coming from.
That makes a lot of sense, actually.
Accountant 2 is where it's at. Like, he's dropping in all these town references.
Uh-huh.
You haven't seen the town.
No,
how are you going to get any of it?
True.
I mean, the man's seen it hundreds and hundreds of times. The Accountant 2 is my answer.
Here's the premise of Until Dawn before you answer.
Do I have to watch Accountant 1 before I watch Accountant 2?
Yeah.
I have to see The Accountant first?
I think so. Yeah, I think it might be on Netflix. Probably. You're not going to know what the hell is going on.
How are you
going
to know what's going on?
Oh,
you're going to be lost.
It's an accountant that beats people up, right? I got it from the ads, I think.
It's deeper than that. It's so much deeper than that.
I got to watch both? Well, maybe I'm back on Until Dawn now.
Until Dawn. 1 year after her sister Melanie mysteriously disappeared, Clover and her friends head into the remote valley where she's vanished in search of answers. They find themselves horrifically murdered, only to wake up and find themselves back at the beginning.
Oh.
Trapped in an endless time loop, they're forced to relive the nightmare again, only each time the killer is different, each more terrifying than the last.
I see.
And the only way to escape is to survive Until Dawn.
So it's Groundhog Day, just with murders.
Yeah, it's
Happy Death Day, but rated R.
There you go.
That's right. Both great.
Okay.
I'm in on this.
No Bill Murray, more murders. It's Groundhog Day.
Yep, it's Groundhog
All right, good
Day.
To know. All right, good. That's
with vicious murders, though.
Did they get Hayden Panettiere back?
Sadly, no. She's not. At least she's not in the cast. Maybe she's uncredited. She's not in this. But there you go. That's a fun little Would You Rather.
There you go. Would You Rather Wednesday here on Jones and Keefe. We'll continue to monitor what's coming out of the Bruins. Their season wrap-up press conference got pretty ugly here today with Charlie Jacobs, Don Sweeney, and specifically Cam Neely.
Yikes.
So we'll get you some of that coming up. And hate it or love it, Tyler Warren, you can vote at Jones and Keefe. We'll give you our breakdown coming up next.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Hate it or love it, here on Jones and Keefe. We'll get to Tyler Warren. You can vote at Jones and Keefe on Twitter and Instagram. Would you hate or love Tyler Warren, the tight end out of Penn State, at pick number 4? Still moments to vote in yesterday's Tet McMillan poll, rather. A flooding of votes. And unless we're going to have Hartford Whalers-esque hijinks here, Keefe.
It's happened before.
At the end of the Good Jones point. And Keefe bracket, that's going to be chalked up as maybe the most hated pick.
Let the hate flow through you.
So we'll update that coming up in just a little bit. A lot of votes for Tet McMillan, second most after Travis Hunter to this point. So we'll continue to track that. Meanwhile, we will update you on Cam Neely melting down a little bit at the Bruins press conference.
Yeah.
We'll do that momentarily. We have some audio to play for you here coming up. Pure Hoops with Terp at high noon. But Keefe, at number 4, the Patriots select Penn State tight end Tyler Warren. Would you hate it or love it?
I would love it.
I loved it.
I would love it. I think this would be a guy that could help Drake May significantly, help the offense significantly so they can grow with him. And, you know, you saw how good Brock Bowers was in the NFL last year. You saw how good, you know, Sam Laporta a couple of years ago was when he came into the league. You know, you're bringing that position back to kind of prominence. I think it would be great. Now, he's not a perfect player, but, you know, or you know, for a guy at number four, you have a couple of tight ends, but you're talking about an insanely high ceiling. You'd still need to address left tackle at some point. But if they took Tyler Warren, I'd be pretty excited about that.
So I would love it. And I've told you for a while.
I love it.
Thank you. Let's say Hunter and Carter are gone.
Yeah.
And they're not taking Jenty. I would still be very happy with Tyler Warren. Yeah. I would take Jenty over him, but I would love this pick. He probably isn't Brock Bowers in terms of play style. That's honestly probably more Loveland, the tight end out of Michigan, as a move player and a pass catcher and a guy in space, more Kelsey than Gronk. But I think Tyler Warren is a pretty versatile player. Yeah, he's not just purely an outside tight end. He's a guy who, as I've said a million times, you can line him up as a wildcat quarterback. He'll run you over.
He can throw it.
Hard guy to tackle, hard guy to get to the ground. And so I think he'd be a fun player to have on this offense. And most years, is drafting a tight end at four ideal? It's not.
No, it seems kind of crazy.
But yeah, this isn't most years. I don't love the wide receivers in this class. The guy I like the most probably is going to go on day two. The end of day one, Luther Burden. That doesn't mean you can't get good players there, but okay, fine. There's not a match at pick four. So how do you get a playmaker? How do you get a guy who can be a difference maker on offense in the passing game for Drake May? You take the tight end, who I think is the clear-cut best tight end in what is a good, talented, deep tight end class. I would love Tyler Warren.
And
I
don't run and throw. He's built like a brick house.
He is.
Jalen Milroe, of course, but it also applies,
it applies to Tyler Warren.
It does.
Because I don't love the receivers in this class. And that doesn't mean there won't be a few that emerge as like really good players. And I'm also putting Travis Hunter to the side for this conversation. Like the rest of that group, I don't really love. So if you're saying, all right, what kind of – and that's why Jenty and Warren have both moved to like the top of my overall big board because – yeah, ideally Drake May gets a stud wide receiver and you move on. He gets Malik Nabers, he gets Marvin Harrison Jr., and you're off and running. I don't know if that guy exists in this draft, but you have a game-changing tight end who last year, I know it's college stats, so it can be a little wonky, but as a tight end at over 100 catches and over 1,200 yards, like that's insane. Ashton Jenty at over 2,600 yards. So it's a running back and a tight end, so maybe not the position you were hoping for, but still like an elite dynamic player that is going to help Drake May significantly and kind of those two can grow together.
Yeah, I think, you know, tight ends used to need an adjustment period. And so Sam Laporta came in right away. I think he was a high round two pick at 34, 35, something like that. Came in right away, super productive for the Lions. You saw it last year with Brock Bowers. I don't think you need that transition as much with a tight end. So I think they can come in and be impact players almost right away. That doesn't mean that'll be the case with Warren, but that does happen with that position now. My red flag for him, you just mentioned the 100 catches last year. Prior to that, in his career, he had 49 catches in 3 years at Penn State. So he is.
They didn't know what they had.
He is a bit of a one-year wonder, which is a red flag. Doesn't mean I wouldn't draft him, but if anything was going to scare me away, it would be that. I would love the pick there at four. You can vote at Jones and Keefe. I'm going to tell you, this is already an unpredictable one, Keefe, because normally we watch the first 20 votes.
Yeah.
The first 30 votes. And
good indication, right?
It usually holds pretty firm. It's already swung.
Oh, boy.
150 or so votes up there now. You can continue to vote at Jones and Keefe. But that one's already swung from the love side to the hate side.
That was quick.
And we'll see if it continues to
swing.
Did
you just tell me like 5 minutes ago, hey, we might have another love?
I thought we might have another because
that's out.
Spoiler alert.
That's out.
If it's not Carter and it's not Hunter, so far Patriots fans pretty much hate all the options, which is how most of the NFL feels about this draft. So you're not alone. Again, you can vote there. We have one more prospect. We'll hit Armon Membu tomorrow at 11:45. Hate it or love it on draft day here on Jones and Keefe. Meanwhile, today is also Bruins breakup day. Jacobs, Neely, Sweeney speaking with the media earlier today. I'm told this is a longer clip, but this is probably where Neely gets the prickliest today.
All right.
So here's a back and forth with Cam asked, I believe, about the job security of Don Sweeney. Okay.
So
that was all Sweeney. Oh, I thought we had some Neely in there as well. There isn't? Okay.
So basically, it's a good job. Don't worry about how quickly they get fired recently because this franchise has been around for 100 years. Uh-huh. So like that's the selling point,
yeah,
I guess.
You ever heard of the original six, Keith?
Yeah, I have.
Yeah. It's the original six.
They're one
job.
Of them.
Yeah, you think somebody's going to say no to that?
No, I don't think so. He'll let you know, though, if they do.
Okay.
So, like, how kind of snaky is it to be like, I only had one coaching search? It's like, well, you still fired three coaches.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
It is snaky. And good job. That was Tara Sullivan of the Boston Globe going at Sweeney directly. Neely got awfully prickly today as well. I guess he walked off and
a walk-off.
Pretty upset.
Okay.
He was very defensive about the Bruins and their drafting. He said it's actually not as bad as everyone thinks.
I tried making that point one day, and then I really like looked into it, and I was like, okay, I can't really go down that road.
I mean, not as bad as everyone thinks. Well, everyone thinks it's the worst, so I guess that technically could be true.
Well, so part of it...
You can't possibly be an overrated bad drafter. We all think the same exact thing. So maybe you're a little bit underrated, perhaps, but like it's bad. Whether it's not as bad as everyone thinks or not, who cares what people think? It's objectively terrible.
Well, isn't if the fallback...
If people hate it a little bit too much, oh well, but it's objectively terrible.
It's hard to miss on first-round picks when you trade all your first-round picks. Is maybe the fallback on that?
Maybe.
Like, in your face, we weren't bad that year because we didn't even have one that year. It's like, yeah, you got rid of it.
But okay. Prickly, testy press conference over there. I guess KPD was getting into them.
All right.
Tara Sullivan getting into them over there, as you just heard. But no, the defense is, well, we've been pretty good. High win percentage, which the text line pointed out over and over again. That's basically Dan Duquette.
So really,
more games in first place.
2015.
Yeah.
Zboril, DeBrusque, Sinishin in the first round.
Yeah.
2016.
Well, hang on. You're leaving out like all the great players taken after them, but keep going. Yeah, 2016.
But I'm pointing out two of those guys are useless, and one of them was fine. McAvoy and Frederick in the first round of 16. You got Charlie McAvoy at 14.
Yeah.
All right.
He's fine.
He's pretty good. For 14th pick?
He's fine.
All right. Euro Vakanainen in 2017 first rounder?
It's a whiff.
Did not have a 2018 first rounder. John Beecher in the 2019 first round?
Hey, that's a fourth line player on one of the worst teams in the league.
True. 2020, no first rounder, but he did get minus Lowry in that draft. 2021, Fabian Lysell in the first round? And then no first rounder since 2024 when they took...
So in 10 years, he got you McAvoy.
Dean, don't call me Mary Kay Letourneau.
In 10 years, he got you McAvoy.
Yeah, that's
who was a player right in his backyard at BU.
Well, and
congrats.
Swayman, who might suck.
Well, and Patra.
Is he good?
I mean, no.
Maybe.
Maybe. Okay. Fine, maybe. We'll put him in the maybe category.
So many whiffs, you have to include maybe some.
It's not as bad as everyone thinks. I mean, it's objectively awful.
It might actually be worse.
It's objectively as bad as it can get, but it's not as bad as everyone thinks.
Yeah.
And on top of that, again, the justification is, well, hey, we just missed the playoffs for the first time. We had made the playoffs all these years before, and we even got all the way to the pinnacle in 2019. I mean, we lost when we got there. But we even got to the pinnacle, and don't forget the whole red carpet was rolled out for us where other teams' best players were getting hurt, and we got the Blue Jackets and the Hurricanes en route to the finals. But okay, fine.
Jack Stadnicka? Did he catch on?
No. I don't believe so. No. 617-779-7937. You can jump in on that. And every Wednesday at high noon, we have Pure Hoops with Terp next.